Hello, this is Violet Blue, and you're listening to Open Source Sex. If you want to learn more about me, or my podcast, or any of the various things that I do, or the books that I've written and edited, you can visit my website, tinynibbles.com, and I'm also the assistant editor at fleshbot.com, which is another fun site you can sort of watch me in action at. And I had planned on doing another interview for this podcast, but Skype Sucks, which is the service I was using for the phone interview with Nina Hartley. And so I'm sort of experimenting around with a couple of different other phone services. So in the meantime, I wanted to do another podcast, of course, but I got my hands on a copy of my friend's new book. My pal Allison Tyler just edited this awesome new book that just came out called The Merry Triple Xmas Book of Erotica. And it sounds cliche, I know, but it's actually not. And I think it's actually the first of its kind, at least with this kind of erotica in it. It's the same kind of erotica that's in a lot of my books. So it's really smart, hip, modern, really filthy, dirty. But the characters in all of the stories are very believable and get into a lot of predicaments and situations that really aren't that far from reality. And that's what makes them really fun. It's sort of like erotic fantasies for couples during the holidays, if you will. Most of the stories have couples in them. I read the book last night. It's great. But yeah, most of the stories have couples in them. They're mostly straight couples, although there is at least one lesbian story and at least one gay story in it. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to read a couple of stories from it. And I'm pretty snarky about the holidays, so I'm not going to try and pummel you, my dear listening audience, with sappy, schmaltzy, bullshit holiday stories. But instead I've picked a couple of stories that are really, they kind of convey a little bit more of the realities of the way a lot of people feel about the holidays. So the first one I want to start with is by another friend of mine, Thomas S. Roche, who is a prolific writer. He has published erotic stories in over 300 anthologies. He's written hundreds of nonfiction articles about sex and sex education. He is a sex educator here in San Francisco, and he is also the editor of Eros Zine, which is Eros Guides magazine, which is really awesome. And that's, I believe it's eroszine.com. Anyway, so now, Here Comes Santa Claus by Thomas S. Roche. It took Emma until Richmond Station to stop fuming. Why did she always forget about how much Christmas pissed her off? The required shopping for holiday gifts irritated her, but the real ball-busting started when she showed up at her parents' place for Christmas. If it hadn't been the repeated quizzing from her grandmother about when and whether she planned to get married, she was a sophomore in fucking college, for Christ's sake, it would have been the comment by her mother about how women who expected to go anywhere in life really shouldn't tart themselves up like punk rock sluts. Last year it had been the nose ring. Last year had also been the bleach blonde hair. Emma felt particularly foolish because she dyed her hair chestnut brown just a week ago in anticipation of the Christmas holidays. She thought Mom had gotten over the nose ring, but in fact she seemed to have been saving it to comment on at a really inappropriate time. In any event, if Emma hadn't been so annoyed already, her lecherous Uncle Fred's dirty jokes and Aunt Tiffany's predictable tendency to drink herself into a celebratory stupor, punctuated by the reliving of family trauma from 1965, would have really pissed her off. Luckily, Emma herself had slung back a few Jack and Gingers, so by the time the two sisters began arguing about the disposition of their beloved convertible Cadillac circa 1958, she was happily in the arms of Morpheus, freezing to death on the chaise lounge out on the back porch. Luckily, the sun had come out, and Emma had narrowly avoided frostbite, awakening just in time for a drunken exchange of unwished-for presents. When she transferred off Amtrak, Emma decided not to go straight back to the dorms. It was Saturday, and almost no one would be home from Christmas break yet. She didn't particularly want to socialize, but she didn't want to be alone either. She decided she had an errand to run. She'd taken the noon train, the earliest she could get any of her crazy relatives to drive her to the station. When she got off the local train and trudged up the street past shivering homeless folks, she was seized with middle-class guilt and started distributing her quarters. By the time she arrived at the sex toy store, she was on the edge of desperation. The place was deserted. It was the Saturday after Christmas, and no one was thinking about sex, apparently, except her. The shop was staffed entirely by women who made the pierced and plaid-skirted Emma look like a member of the Republican National Committee. Three clerks, one young Butch Dyke, one purple-haired goth-looking chick, and a dark-skinned trans woman in improbable heels were leaning against the counter looking bored. "Hi," said the baby Dyke. "Can I help you find something?" "I need the dirtiest sex toy you have," Emma blurted, dropping her army green duffel bag near the door. Said the baby Dyke. We dirty? Emma tried to clarify and pretty much got nowhere. I don't mean dirty. I don't know what I mean. Something really bad. I mean badass, not low quality. $100? "Christmas money," said the trans woman. "You know it," said Emma. All three employees nodded knowingly. "Rough time with the parents?" Emma slumped into the armchair next to the counter and looked up miserably. "You want to buy something to take care of yourself." "Yeah, I guess that's a more positive way to put it," said Emma. "Something filthy." Several moments of silence passed before the Butch Dyke piped up with a smile. "Filthy's all in the mind." "Oh, I know," said Emma. "But right now my mind says filthy, filthy, filthy." "All right, then," said the goth chick helpfully. "What does, filthy mean to you?" Emma's eyes flickered over the racks and racks of multicolored dildos, settling on one that was particularly garish in its size and realism. Fitted with a suction cup, the thing was networked with bulging veins and an improbably thick head. It must have been 12 inches long. Emma felt her body begin to react before she even realized it. The flush went right to her cheeks, and she felt her nipples hardening inside the tight sweater she wore. "Maybe I just need a really, really big dick," said Emma, as if thinking to herself. She crossed her arms and legs nervously, smiling as innocently as she could manage. The trans woman came around from behind the counter. "Ah, yes," she said, "a common sentiment. But make sure your eyes aren't bigger than your appetite. Would you like to see more samples?" Emma awkwardly followed the trans woman around the store, viewing several walls worth of phallic toys and hearing a lecture about the relative merits of silicone versus jelly rubber. She tried very hard to listen politely and not keep looking back at the thick-headed cock with its beckoning veins and stiff shaft. When the tour was finished, Emma cleared her throat and said, I think I'll take that one, the big one." "Excellent choice," said the trans woman with a knowing smile. "I'll get one from the back," said the Butch Dyke. "And of course don't forget the lube," called the goth woman helpfully from across the room. "I was getting to that, Janessa," said the trans woman, flourishing her hand, Wheel of Fortune style, over the impressive wall of lube bottles. Since the dildo Emma wanted was well under $100, she spent the rest of her Christmas money on numerous bottles of lube and a glossy fetish magazine of pinup models being spanked. What could she say? It caught her eye. The total came to $101.53. Emma fished around for dimes and pennies and gave the trans woman exact change. "And since you've topped $100, said the trans woman as she put the toy, lubes, and magazine into a bag, "you get one of our seasonal gifts." She produced a Santa hat with the logo of the store, a woman pleasuring herself. "Now that," said Emma, "is filthy." "I thought you'd like it," said the trans woman with a wink. "Come again." Emma thanked the three women and left the store, feeling a rather uncomfortable heat growing inside her as she noted the daunting weight of the toy in her bag. The dorms were deserted, as Emma had figured they would be. It was just as well, because she'd spent the whole bus ride thinking about what she was going to do when she got back to her dorm room. There weren't many PG-rated thoughts left in her head. Emma felt sweaty from the overheated bus and the many layers of winter clothes piled on her, but she couldn't bear the thought of running down the hall to the shared bathroom to shower. Instead, she upended the plain brown bag over her bed, which she'd irresponsibly left unmade when she departed for the holiday. The dildo looked an awful lot bigger and more thickly veined in this light, even with no smaller, smoother dildos to compare it to. Just handling the big dildo, unrolling a condom over its massive length, turned Emma on. She felt incredibly naughty, knowing she'd spent her Christmas money from her conservative relatives on what was presumably the biggest dick she would ever put anywhere near her pussy. Emma stripped off her clothes and began to rub her clit. She opened up the fetish magazine and leafed one-handed through page after page of fetching retro-clad pin-up girls bent over men's and women's knees. She felt her pleasure mounting as she rubbed her clit faster. Then she turned the page and saw something that sent a surge of excitement through her. It was a picture of a woman in a latex elf costume, bent over Santa's knee. Her tight-fitting green latex dress was pulled up to her waist, and Santa's hand was connecting with her full, rounded lace-clad buttocks, squarely between her emerald-green garters. "Oh, that's filthy," said Emma out loud, and remembered the hat. She put on the Santa hat and grabbed her hand mirror from the nightstand. She looked at herself in the hat, admiring the way the woman pleasuring herself reflected her own frantic rubbing of her clit. Approaching her orgasm quickly, as she looked from the mirror to the naughty elf and back again, Emma tossed the mirror on her pillow and reached for the dildo. "Make it real, Santa," she said, indulging her private sense of humor. Surprising herself, she found that talking dirty about Santa actually did something for her. "Make it fucking real, Santa. Spank my fucking naughty elf bottom." Eyeing the magazine, she rubbed her clit with one hand and guided the thick head of the dildo up to her pussy. She realized with the first pressure against her cunt that there was no fucking way this thing was going anywhere. She grabbed a lube bottle at random and drizzled lube over her pussy and over the latex-sheathed head of the dildo. "Make it fucking real, Santa," she said. "Shove that big thing in my pussy." The pressure against her entrance made her moan. God, this thing was fucking huge. Her pussy lips curved around the thickness of the head, but even with a firm pressure, the big thing failed utterly to enter her. Emma rubbed her clit further and began to press the cockhead rhythmically against her opening. "Make it fucking real, Santa," she moaned. "Oh, Santa, you've got the biggest dick in the world. Shove it in me. Shove your fucking cock in me. Oh." Emma came, her whole body shivering with pleasure, as the pressure at the entrance to her cunt brought her off. She kept rubbing her clit rapidly as her orgasm heightened, and her eyes roved over the naughty elf in Santa's lap as she whimpered, "Fuck me, Santa, fuck me." The last spasms of Emma's orgasm exploded through her, and her back arched as she pressed herself against the bed. She grabbed the dildo with both hands and forced it rhythmically against her pussy, gasping, "Yes, Santa, yes," as she came. Finally, the tension went out of her body, and she lay there, holding the dildo between her legs. When she looked down at it, she was struck once more by just how big it was. How had she ever thought she was going to put that thing inside her? But she could still feel the warmth of her orgasm inside of her. She smiled and peeled the condom off the dildo, tossing it into the bedside garbage can. Curling up on her bed, Emma tucked the dildo and magazine under her pillow and put the lube in her nightstand. Exhausted from her long journey and session of self-pleasuring, she decided it was time for a nap. As she slipped into a welcomed alpha state, she kept her hand curved around Santa's dick, reminding herself that it had, for all practical purposes, been purchased for her by her arch-conservative relatives. Out on the quad, Emma could hear someone singing Christmas carols. She even found herself humming along with "Here Comes Santa Claus." As she drifted to sleep, she wondered if anyone else was getting off on the tune. And that is very much a Thomas Roche story. 10 parts dirty and maybe half a part humor, and the rest is all fun. Very, very excellent. I've got one more story that I want to read from this book, and it's by a man named Eric Williams. So unlike Thomas's, which was written by a man and told from a female point of view, Eric's is told from a male point of view, and he has a short bio that I'm going to read here. Eric Williams has written for anthologies, including Sweet Life and Naughty Stories from A to Z, Volume 3. So he had a story in my first book, Sweet Life. And now, "Tis the Season," by Eric Williams. "'Tis the season, or so the tinned holiday music keeps telling me. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-fucking-la-la-la. And I don't mean to sound cliched here, or anything like Scrooge, but I'm not the slightest bit into Christmas. I can't take the music. I can't stand the fruitcake. And if someone tries to pass me another cup of fucking eggnog, I'll go fucking nuts. Who invented eggnog? What moron decided that raw egg mixed with rum, cream, and nutmeg equaled holiday heaven? Please, give me a good old beer any day of the week. I'm sick of women with the tinkling jingle bell earrings, green in one ear, red in the other. I'm sick of mistletoe hanging dangerously from every archway. If I'm going to kiss someone, I want to do it on my own desire, not because I'm standing under a weed. And I'm supremely sick of holiday-themed everything. Holiday-scented potpourri, holiday-scented soap, holiday-scented shampoo. I swear to fucking God, some chick at my office, and yes, I know it was a chick because no guy would ever buy this, actually gave me body wash that smells like gingerbread. I couldn't even force a smile onto my face. Yeah, she was my secret Santa, and yeah, there was a price limit on the gifts, but I'm a man, for Christ's sake. Why on earth would I want to smell like a cookie? To be fair, the bottle was sort of cool, from some brand called Philosophy, which I'd never heard of. They don't make things like that for men, or at least not men like me, who tend to buy everything I need at Walgreens. One of the other ladies in the office made sort of a ooh noise when I opened it, and I could tell she wanted to trade what she'd gotten. Curious, I glanced over to see what that gift might be, and suddenly found myself slightly more open to the spirit of giving. She was holding a pair of leopard print cuffs, and she was blushing fiercely as well. "Some kinky secret Santa you got," I said, almost under my breath. But she heard me and looked up, then took a step closer. I recognized her as a fellow cube dweller, one who had only been in the office for a few weeks. I didn't even know her name yet, but I had noticed that she was one of the few women in the joint who hadn't sported battery-operated light-up sweaters or glittery holiday eye makeup. One of the few who didn't smell like a candy cane or think it fucking adorable to wear stacks of circular peppermint sticks as bracelets and silver tinsel hair ornaments. To some, the holidays are open season for displaying bad personal taste. "Yeah," she said softly. "Pretty kinky, I guess." Probably from Shayna in the art department. She wears leopard print outfits every single day. "You think?" she asked, and she turned her head to look over at Shayna, who was wearing leopard print this evening as well, although her outfit tonight was red and green leopard print. Extra festive. "Why?" I asked. "Who was your guess?" Her blush darkened, a pretty hollyberry color. "Well, you know, actually, I thought it was from you." Now, I took another moment to look her over, and when someone passed an eggnog my way, I didn't push it aside. "Nah," I said, unable to hide my grin. "I wouldn't have thought of something like that." "So what did you put under the tree? You don't want to know." She glanced at the different gifts clutched in people's hands, looking back at me in between moments of surveillance. I watched her over the rim of my eggnog cup, wondering if she'd guessed correctly. "Not the fuzzy mouse that plays Jingle Bell Rock when you rub his tummy." I didn't even have to say no. "Not the light-up Rudolph nose or the furry brown antlers." "Uh-uh." Again, she surveyed the gifts that had been opened, and then she suddenly broke into a grin. "The coal?" I nodded. "Is it really coal?" "No, it's black licorice. I couldn't resist." "So what do you have against Christmas?" she asked, moving even closer to me. "You're not one of those people who think it's all over-commercialized and we should get back into the real spirit or anything, are you?" "Do you mean am I a religious freak? No, I have no problem with people bowing down to Santa as their savior. I just don't like anyone telling me that I have to be jolly." Again, she gazed at me forcefully, and I could feel her eyes on my body. "Yeah, you don't really have that jolly look about you." "I don't like people telling me much of anything," I confessed. "Really?" Her blue eyes seemed to light up. She took another step closer, and I realized I could have put my arms around her trim waist and held her to me. Nobody would have even noticed. Where was the mistletoe when you needed it? The buzz had grown louder around us now that the silly gift opening ceremony was over. People were definitely on their way past tantalizingly tipsy to all-out drunk. "What if someone told you to meet her in the back supply room?" "Oh," I said, suddenly feeling a bit more jolly than I had before the party started. "Oh, well, that would be different, because that's more of a suggestion, not a command." "Really?" she asked again. "I'd consider it a command if I were you." You know, jolliness was now pretty much spreading throughout my body. "Now?" I asked. "You don't have a problem being told," she teased. I shook my head. "Now," she agreed, and I set my eggnog down on the nearest desk and followed her around the corner and down the hall. There was some moron from accounting making photocopies of his ass in the copy room, but the supply room at the far end of the hall was empty and dark except for a strand of tiny, twinkling white Christmas lights. "What if someone told you to put your wrists behind your back?" she said now, closing the door behind us. I did it without a word of protest. And get down on your knees. I did that too. And open your mouth. I was on my knees with my hands behind my back and my mouth open before I could even figure out how I'd gotten there. The pretty blonde quickly used the cuffs on me, and then she stood in front of me and slowly raised her short, dark, velvety skirt. "What about you?" I somehow managed to say. "Why are you wearing black to a holiday party? What do you have against Christmas?" "Nothing," she assured me. "I just happen to agree with you. Forced glee is a way of making me slightly nauseous. That and fruitcake. I like to create my own moods." "And so what sort of mood is this one?" I asked her. She pressed the back of my head, forcing my face against her panties, and I breathed in deeply, inhaling a scent that I found much more arousing than gingerbread. "An X-rated Christmas mood," she sighed, and even in the dimly lit room, when I looked up, I could see the grin on her face. But I didn't have the chance to look up for long. Her fingers twined in my hair, and she pressed me once again into her panties. I kissed her through the shiny fabric, and then started to lick in slow, sexy circles. She sighed again as I worked her, and then swiftly slipped her panties to the left, exposing her smoothly shaved pussy. I licked harder now, barely keeping my balance on my knees, wanting to lean into her to fuck her forcefully with my tongue. She held me steady, hands still in my hair, and ground herself against my face as I licked and sucked and nibbled. This was my idea of a Christmas dinner, the perfect way to end a holiday fiesta. I wanted to make her come, and I did my best, off balance but ever ready to please, until suddenly she pulled me back off her and whipped out the key to the cuffs. "You're releasing me?" I didn't like the thought of it. "No way," she said. "I'm repositioning you." And she quickly captured my hands once again, this time in front of my body. While I watched, she slid her skirt and panties all the way off, then bent over the corner table. I scrambled to undo my slacks with my hands cuffed together, but I somehow managed, freeing my cock and plunging into her. She lifted her hips to help me, and I drove inside, actually fucking her to the tune of Here Comes Santa Claus playing mercilessly in the other room. In that twinkling light, everything seemed magical. The way she moved beneath me, the way her hair took on a glistening sheen. And for the first time since the holidays had come upon us, way back sometime in August, I think, I found myself at peace. This was what the holidays were truly about. Connecting, rejoicing, finding total pleasure with your fellow man, or, in this case, woman. She came first, groaning beneath me, and I followed a beat later, biting into her shoulder as I climaxed, sure that I had torn the thin fabric of her slippery black top, but not really caring at all. I pressed her against the table for a final moment, breathing hard, and then rolled off and awkwardly tried to pull up my slacks. When she undid my wrists a second time and started playing with the cuffs herself, I had a fresh image of Christmas joy instantly in my mind. This pretty vixen cuffed to my desk chair while I fucked her. Or bent her over the photocopy machine if the Nimrod from accounting was finished with it. "So, you really think these were from Shayna?" she asked. "I don't know, that was just my first thought," I hesitated, looking at her and the dangerous gleam in her clear blue eyes. "Why?" "'Cause we could go snag her and invite her to join us. I mean, if you'd like." All of a sudden I realized that my pitiful thoughts about the misery of the holidays had all but disappeared. And as I opened the door and peered down the hall at the partying staff in the main room, I couldn't help but think, 'tis the fucking season, that's for sure. So those are two really, really hot little samples from the Merry Triple Xmas Book of Erotica, edited by my pal Allison Tyler. And the stories, it's funny how they ended up fitting together in their own way, even though they're not sequential in the book. I just picked them because, well, I liked them. They're certainly not the dirtiest stories in the book. I'm going to read you the what I think are the dirtiest stories in this book before Christmas, so you'll be able to hear that podcast Christmas Eve. So that'll be one of my holiday presents to y'all. But yeah, they happen to fit together really nicely, and they've got just the right amount of snarkiness and just the right amount of, oh shit, we have to do this holiday thing again. But at the same time, kind of a little bit of a sense of just how hot good sex can be over the holidays. Anyway, I'm going to sign off. I hope that you enjoyed the stories, and thank you for listening to Open Source Sex. I will talk to you next time.